A few years ago, a book was published entitled The Benedict Option. Some of you may have read it. Rod Dreher is the author. Some thought that he was advocating a complete withdrawal from society, that is, Catholic Christians or Christians in general leaving their homes and moving to an area and essentially building a wall around the community with a moat around it. But in fact, halfway through the book, he basically challenges his readers to see that to live one's Christian faith today means not that we leave the society in which we're in, but we support one another and stand for Christ. In fact, we have more in common with the early church, which experienced great persecution, than we did with a community, let's say, of the Middle Ages. He raises questions in the book as to the direction that America is heading, with bureaucratic decay and massive public debt and overstretched military, waning religious practice, the breakup of family life, hedonism, the loss of cultural coherence. He raises the question, are we heading into a possible dark age? There have been related articles by theologians and political commentators and professors similarly looking at the effects of political correction and identity politics on life in America. They conclude that it takes tremendous courage to witness to Christian beliefs and principles. In fact, it takes moral courage, tremendous moral courage, to say words which charitably confront, correct, and challenge. Again, he's not advocating a withdrawal from society, but a realization that it takes great effort and courage to live one's faith. What these and other authors have written can be said of what's happening in many cities in our country. As we see lawlessness and disregard for the sanctity of all life, from conception to natural death, under attack. When life, all life, is sacred, there is no room for prejudice or racism or discrimination. In fact, the church is teaching from the very beginning on the sanctity of life, calls for the dignity of every person. Now, we know it's all too easy to disown one's moral responsibility by ignoring what is happening. And as we know, for evil to triumph, all that is required is that good people say and do nothing. More and more is written today about atheism, its acceptability in circles, and thus it will take great courage to express our Catholic beliefs in the face of what's been called sophisticated agnosticism, materialism, or conclusions that faith is out of date. An example would be the fact that expressions of faith were not viewed as essential, and it took great effort to bring this to the attention of elected officials. Now, these struggles we may think are new to us, but our readings for this Sunday clearly show we are in good company. I've always liked the prophet Jeremiah because he was given a difficult task by God, and he wasn't afraid to complain to God, essentially saying, "Why me? Can't you choose someone else to do this?" And yet in our first reading, Jeremiah refuses to be intimidated by terror on every side. That doesn't mean that the terror did not get to him. He was a prophet, not a robot. Jeremiah, we are told in this reading, had been abandoned by all his friends who now try to discredit him. He's thrown into prison, later into a well, and left to die. But Jeremiah refused to be bullied into agreement because he believed that the Lord is at my side, a mighty hero. What kept Jeremiah sane and faithful to his calling amidst this persecution was his profound and heartfelt belief that God cared for him. The Lord is at our side also. And while at times we will grow fearful and discouraged, we mustn't let these fears cripple us. To live the Christian life requires courage, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive at confirmation. And that's the essential message of our gospel. Jesus' words are strong. He does not disguise the truth that his disciples will be confronted by those who threaten, bully, and intimidate others into submissive agreement. Jesus' advice is clear. Not only does he want his disciples to refuse to submit to the culture of death, a phrase that Pope St. John Paul often used, as well as Pope Benedict. In fact, the culture of death is an apt description. It's not meant to say that it will win, but it is a realistic term to describe how often in our society, again, life is not treated with sanctity and dignity. Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." The reality is those who follow Jesus will be met with great difficulty sooner or later. But our Lord insists so often in Scripture, as recorded in the Gospels, "Be not afraid." How can we, disciples today, not be afraid? What is available to us to overcome the fear? Jesus argues that the Father cares deeply for the true disciple. And he takes the example of a sparrow. Now, at the time, Scripture scholars tell us, sparrows were sold in the marketplace as food for the poor, 2 for a penny and 5 for equivalent of 2 pennies. The fifth was thrown in for nothing. Yet Jesus says, "Not one falls to the ground without your Father knowing." So there is no need to be afraid. You are worth more than hundreds of sparrows. Jesus' point is very important. Do not be afraid. I am with you to the end of the age. You are worthwhile. All life is sacred. Think about it. If you and I believe deep down that we're worthless, there's no point to defending anything. Anyone can intimidate those who regard themselves as worthless. Think of the wounds that have happened in adults that trace back to a childhood that was damaged by adults who did not care for their children. If you and I, however, believe that we are worth something, that is, we're beloved sons and daughters of God, then we will be willing to stand tall on those who disagree, are indifferent, or actually may attack the Christian values we're called to live. That sense of worth can outdistance the hate of all who oppress us. And that's why Jeremiah and Jesus and the Christian martyrs faced their persecutors with tremendous courage. They were given a grace, a strength. The challenge to confess the name of Jesus is one that is issued to every generation and to every believer in Jesus Christ. Although we've had a century or so of relative calm in the Catholic faith, the opposition and disdain that characterized the 19th century with movements like the Know-Nothings and the Blaine Amendment, which is still in effect, which at its heart discriminates against Catholics, we know that the defense of life or marriage or the right to educate our children in faith, to provide health care and services for the poor, to reaffirm dignity, they can be targeted and seem to be ridiculed by the media. Now, as the author wrote in that book, now is a time of change, a time of challenge. And challenge will either make or break people. While many are falling away, others are discovering a new level of commitment because of this challenge. And there's nothing like a challenge to draw out the best in people. Some argue the church will be better when it's smaller. But if that's the direction and the style of leadership of you, God's people, but most especially your shepherds, especially the bishops, then we've lost the zeal for the salvation of souls. We must, like Jesus, the Good Shepherd, always pursue those who, for whatever reason, may not be practicing their faith. As we continue in our Mass this morning, let us again look to how Jesus prepared the first apostles to face challenge. Three times in this short gospel alone, he encouraged them not to be afraid. Do not be afraid is repeated throughout the Bible so often that it virtually corresponds to the number of days in the year. What Jesus is doing is trying to move us from fear to trust, Fear creates suspicion, distance, and insecurity. But trust leads to closeness, intimacy, and a sense of safety. Trust needs to be our shield when we deal with all that opposes the Lord, including the reality of evil. For it is the devil who seeks to distract, to divide, to discourage, and ultimately destroy. But God is watching over us. This belief should give us comfort and strength and hope, especially in these times of difficulty. Let our humble prayer be this day, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief.